A little less than a year ago, I had the zechus of going to Eretz Yisrael on a trip just with my father. And we went to the Lower Galil, to a place called Beit She'arim. Beit She'arim is presumed to be the Makam Kavura, the place of interment of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, of Rebbe, the one who we owe our Hakaras HaTov for really transmitting to us Torah Shebaal Peh, the author of the Mishnah. One of the clues that archaeologists found, the way we know that Beit She'arim is the Makam Kibur, the place of burial of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, is that right near the Kever, an elaborate place of burial, is a mysterious semicircle made of stone that looks like benches. And at first, the archaeologists didn't know what it was. And they surmised that it's probably based upon the Gemara at the end of the first Perek of Bava Kamma. The Gemara says, referring to Chizkiyahu HaNavi, "V'kavod asu lo b'moso," they paid him great homage after he passed away. So the Gemara, what was the kavod? Melamed shehoshivu yeshiva al kivro. They made it a yeshiva, a place of learning, right near where Chizkiyahu HaMelech, one of the most righteous kings in our history, was buried. So the archaeologist, that's probably it. What's this mysterious semicircle of stone? It's probably Yeshiva al-Kivro, a place that was a yeshiva set up right near the kever of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And Rav Shechter always points out from this pasuk, the kavod asu lo b'moso, melamed shehoshivu yeshiva al-Kivro, the kavod asu lo, the greatest respect to pay to a person, specifically is lehoshiv yeshiva al-Kivro, to establish a regular source of Torah study as a matzeva, as a testimony to their memory. So all those of you that are here, those that know me, those that know my siblings, those that know our family, and certainly those that knew Imi Marasi, Marasi Chavit Pesha Basilel, Aleha Shalom, those that knew our dear mother, you're assisting us in the kavod osu lo b'moso, to pay the greatest honor possible to my dear mother by eternalizing her memory in sharing Kodesh HaKadoshim, Taras Hashem Tamima, together on her yard site. So those that came from near, those that came from far, thank you very much for providing us as a family with the chizuk and giving the ultimate zuchus to our mother's neshama, should have an aliyah with the Talmud Torah that we learned together. Not so long ago, the concept of checking vegetables was reserved for one vegetable once a year. Romaine lettuce, an Erev Pesach. And in comparatively recent times, all of a sudden spiraled into a tremendous industry in of itself, providing Klal Yisrael with halakhically bug-free produce. Tonight we're going to explore what exactly happened. What happened in the past decade or two that changed it? And we're going to establish some of the basic fundamental halakhic principles as to how to navigate this complex issue of bugs in fruits and vegetables. We're not going to spend time on the nitty-gritty, such as how do you make strawberries bug-free, or what do you do about romaine lettuce. There are many svarim, many websites that discuss that. But tonight we're going to talk about the real bricks and mortar, the basic fundamental yesodos. What's halacha? What's chumra? What's kula? What's the nature of being concerned for bugs in fruits and vegetables. It's interesting to note, in the very first source in front of you, please make sure if you're coming in, if you came in the past few minutes, or you're coming in now, there are Marmer Kamos. You should remember behind you are Marmer Kamos. There are more Marmer Kamos from Azam, and you have more Marmer Kamos. Make sure everyone has Marmer Kamos. The concept of checking fruits and vegetables from bugs is mefurish black on white in Shulchan Aruch. The first source says in Shulchan Aruch, if there is a fruit that you have which seems to have, is known to have bugs, in the bold, lo yochal, don't eat that fruit or vegetable, ad sheyivdo kapri, until you check it, mitocho, shema yesh bo talas. You have to check it sometimes inside, make sure there's no bug. The concept of checking produce is not restricted to romaine lettuce. It's explicit in Shulchan Aruch. The question is, what's the nature of this idea? Checking for bugs. The Gemara in Machos tells us a very scary halacha, that between eating chazer and eating bugs is worse. If a person eats treif, it's usually one lav, one aveira. But if a person eats bugs, it could be four, five, or even six averas, Rechmanu Litzlan. Says Shulchan Aruch, in order to protect yourself, you better check and make sure that you don't have bugs. Chas v'shalom to ingest the bug. On the other hand, it's important to note that this concept of checking for bugs, the requirement to make sure that our produce is bug-free, is usually not a halacha min haTorah. It's maximum a chiyuv midrabanan. Maximum only requirement midrabanan. How so? For this aspect of the shiur, we're going to take a break from bugs and go to a different area of kashrus. The concept of glatt kosher, of checking animals that are shechted for any deformities that might cause them to die early. The halacha is, if there's any of tens of deformities that would cause an animal to die within the next 12 months, it's called a treifa, and it can't be eaten. The term we usually use for non-kosher meat in general, treif, comes from that idea. If an animal is going to die within the next 12 months, it's called a treifa. Yet the halacha of the Shulchan Aruch says is that even though there is approximately 80 types of treifas that could happen to an animal, no place that checks animals checks every single animal for 80 permutations that would take place to render the animal unkosher. We would never be able to eat meat if that happened because it would take too long. Says the Shulchan Aruch in the second source, Ein tzarech livdok achar shum treifos min astam. In a normal, healthy animal that looks like it's kosher, there's no reason to believe there's anything wrong with it, there's no need to check for treifos. Chutz min areya. With one exception. Since sometimes lungs can have adhesions which render them non-kosher, every animal must have its lungs checked. There's a machlokes you can sometimes see on Main Street between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, what defines an adhesion, that's called glat beis yosef or glat that's not beis yosef. But everyone agrees in principle, certain adhesions render an animal not kosher. You have to check every animal's lungs for adhesions. That's the only treifa you have to check for. Of all the treifas that are possible, the only one we check for is that. Isn't that strange? If God forbid an animal has any deformity and we eat it, we're eating non-kosher. But the Mefarshim explain that this requirement for checking is something which is in theory min haTorah, but practically only midrabanan. In fact, it's highlighted in the next source, says the Shulchan Aruch in the next source. What happens if you're shechting the animal in the country? You want to make a barbecue, say shech the animal in the open field, and as you're trying to get your charcoal started, some animal comes and says, that looks like a very tasty treat, and steals the lungs. Can't check them. Shulchan Aruch, source 3. Mi shekara beten abehema. Person who ripped open the insides of the animal. V'kodem shetivdo kareya. Before you check the lung, Bachaya onochri, an animal or a person who's not familiar with Torah mitzvahs comes v'notla and takes it, v'halacho and leaves the animal, harezim uteris, you're allowed to eat the animal. That is, even though there's a requirement to check animals for adhesions on the lung, if you can't do it, you're still allowed to eat the animal. So ideally check it, l'chatkila check the animal, but the evid, if you can't check it, then it's still permissible. Why, says the Shach in source 4, B'dichos hareya eino ela midrabanan. The concept of checking lungs is only midrabanan. How's that again? We already mentioned that if a person eats an animal whose lung is not kosher, the animal's treif. That is one of the 613 mitzvos. You can't eat an animal with a treif lung. Yet, says the Shulchan Aruch, if you miss checking, it's okay, don't worry about it. Because the whole idea of checking is only midrabanan. Why? The Mefarshim here explain that there are three different concepts we have in halacha, based upon prevalence. How much of a chance is there you're going to do an aveira? If there's a very significant chance you're going to do an aveira, then you have to check something. If there's a chance which is really not so great, then midrabanan Chazal still said you have to check. And if there's no chance, there's a chance of a snowball in August, that you're going to have an aveira, then it's permissible altogether. So the Mefarshim explain, the Rishonim, then the Achronim, that it all depends on how much of a chance there is for you to do an aveira. In principle, if you would eat an animal that you know has a hole in its lung, you're eating an animal which is treif. But most animals don't have holes in lungs. Therefore, although ideally you should check, but if you can do it, you can presume the animal was kosher. That's the halacha that we call rove. Rove animals in the world don't have adhesions on the lungs. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us rove animals in the world don't have any treifus altogether. Even lungs, there's only a requirement to check midrabanan, but not min haTorah. Because ideally min haTorah, you can rely on rove. Most animals are totally fine. Their lungs would pass any exam with flying colors. Midrabanan Chazal said, you have to be careful because there's a higher incidence of lungs having holes in them or having adhesions, you still have to check. These three levels of prevalence, of incidence of something being treif, are termed by our Chachamim with three terms that are illustrated in table one in front of you. If it's very prevalent that you're going to be over an aveira, what we call rove chances that you're going to eat something which is not kosher, then you have to check min haTorah. But in the bold, the next level, if there's a significant minority, mir hamatzui, this is the situation with lungs. Lungs is called mir hamatzui. That means it's not very prevalent, but it's a little prevalent, that you only need to check midrabanan. And then the third level, if it's insignificant minority, miyash en hamatzui, there's no need to check at all. So just to review what we've seen so far, most animals are deemed to be kosher min haTorah. That's why, if a cat comes and steals the insides of your animal while you're having a barbecue, then you can eat the animal. Because min haTorah rely on rov. Chazal still said, if you can, midrabanan, you need to check the lungs. But only the lungs. Why only the lungs? Because only the lungs have a high enough incidence of problems that you don't need to have to check them. But most other things have no incidence at all. Even though there are, in theory, 80 types of treifus that could exist, you don't need to check them at all, because we presume, chances are, there's absolutely no problem whatsoever. From these halachos of treifus, an area of halacha not familiar to us usually, we culled three very important principles. If there's a rove chance, a high probability, you're in violation of an aveira, you need to check min haTorah. Medium probability, what we call miyud hamatzui, it's a minority, but it's found. It's somewhat prevalent. There's a requirement to check midrabanan. And if there's almost no chance altogether, then there's no requirement to check even midrabanan. Based on this halacha, as far as lungs are concerned, the Rashba in the fourth source and the Achronim after him say the same thing is true with bugs in fruits and vegetables. Says the Rashba, really, what are the chances that your broccoli, your cauliflower, your Brussels sprouts are going to have bugs? Says the Rashba, Hamin and Halalu, in general, we presume most types of produce in the bold, in source 5, Ein harechash matzui berov. Usually, we don't have infestation that's such a strong amount. Or we come up, nevertheless, have a miut hamatzui. Very important term. It's a significant minority. We already saw, what's the requirement for a significant minority? Requirement midrabanan to check. Min haTorah, Brussels sprouts are kosher. because there's a rove, there's a significant minor, there's a majority of Brussels sprouts that have no infestation. But says the Rashba, nevertheless, the kol shematzui, if there's a significant minority, ain't somchin abadikas haktas. We can't rely on checking some of them. And says the Rashba, where do we know this from? V'hamashal b'zeh b'dikas hareya. This comes from, it's parallel to checking for lungs, checking the lungs. The basic idea we've seen so far in the shir is that when we talk about averos, there can be averos that exist in a Torah, but they're only in a Torah if you know you're doing it. If there's a rove, if chances are that you're not doing this avera, you can blindly follow that rove, min haTorah, even if in theory the specimen you're eating is infected. It's infested with bugs, or it's a lung which is not kosher. Since you rely on rove, you're totally okay min haTorah. Nevertheless, who said we have to check? Midrabanan we check. But again, we've seen that both as far as lungs are concerned and as far as vegetables are concerned, the only time you need to check a vegetable min haTorah is if there's a strong majority of those vegetables that are infested. If there's no strong majority of the vegetables that are infested, there is no requirement to check min haTorah. We rely on rove. Nevertheless, if there's the term used by Chazal, mir hamatzui, a significant minority that still exists, you still need to check midrabanan. And if there's almost nothing, you don't need to check at all. So it comes out from what we've seen so far that chances are most of the vegetables that we have, most, not always, but most vegetables that we have, although we know you're better checked or else you're doing an avera, chas v'shalom, not totally true. What's the maximum penalty a person's in violation of if they don't check a vegetable and they eat it? Only midrabanan. Because most vegetables are not going to have a majority of vegetables being infected. It's a significant minority. There's a requirement to check, but only midrabanan. It's not always true every season and every specimen, but 95% of vegetables that are sold are not going to have a majority of infestation. Therefore, although if a person God forbid would eat an ant, that's a very serious violation, you don't know that there are bugs in your vegetables and you don't check, maximum you're violating a din midrabanan. Very serious, of course, we keep din midrabanan as well as min haTorah, but maximum it's a din midrabanan. That being said, let's take the next step. What's considered an infestation that's significant minority? Obviously, most vegetables are not infested with the majority, as we said. What does it mean to say there's a significant minority of vegetables that are infected? What does that mean? And again, if any vegetable has a significant minority, that makes the requirement midrabanan to check. We still can't eat it because there's a requirement, not min haTorah, but midrabanan. What is significant minority? What does it mean, mi'an hamotzui? There's a very famous makolkas in the postim. What does it mean? There's a significant minority of chance you're going to have a violation of the prohibition. The Mishnah says in Surah 6, in Maseches Bava Basra, Maseches that I'm learning with David Tzvi, and sometimes with Yisrael Meir, Mishnah says, what if I'm in business? And I'm in business of selling wine. My name is Herzog, I work for Kedem, and I sell wine. I sell it by the barrel. Says the Mishnah, if I sell you wine, don't think that every single barrel is going to be fantastic. Says the Mishnah, source 6, Hamoker, a person who sells wine, Eser Kososos Slamea. We can presume it's totally fair business practice to have 10 out of every 100 barrels to have bad wine. You can't know, there's no perfect quality control. 10 out of every 100 barrels, what ratio is that? Ratio of 10 out of 100 is what we call 1 to 10, 10%. 1 to 10, 1 out of every 10 barrels, you're allowed to have vinegar or bad wine, and that's not a violation of bad business practice. So if we presume, not everything is perfect. So it's totally okay. Halacha says, one, we presume that 1 out of every 10 barrels of wine is vinegar or bad wine. Nevertheless, turning to the top of the next page, the Rambam tells us in Surah 7, that if I'm separating Trumas and Maestros from wine, then I have to make sure that I'm separating all wine. I can't say Truma from grapes on apples, or apples on grapes. I can only take from grapes on grapes, apples on apples. Similarly, I can't take Truma from vinegar on wine, or wine on vinegar. I have to use wine for wine, and vinegar for vinegar. Says the Rambam in Surah 7, Sarach livdol kasayayin. From time to time, you need to check wine and make sure that it's not vinegar if you're separating Truma from it. Isn't that strange? So the Rambam says, you need to check wine, make sure that it didn't turn, even though we know that we presume that one out of every 10 barrels of wine can turn to vinegar. Says the Mishnas Yaakov, well-known psak of the Mishnas Yaakov in Source 8, you see that in halacha, if there's a 1 in 10 chance that something's going to happen, 1 in 10 chance that your wine's going to turn to vinegar, you need to check. In Source 8, Ad heichan yitra mir hamotzoi, what's considered a significant minority? Mehach didabe yayin koseis huchelet miyud. 10%. There's a 10% chance or greater that you're going to have something which is inadequate, such as vinegar for separating wine, or in our case, infestation in vegetables. There's a chiyuv b'dita. So it says Mishnas Yaakov, if there's a 10% chance that something's going to go wrong, there halacha says you must check. 10% chance. Magic number 10. Because again, 1 in 10 barrels of wine are going to turn into vinegar. And on that we say, you better check your wine before you separate on it. So we see that if there's a 1 in 10 chance something's going to happen, you must check your wine. Says the Mishnas Yaakov, what is the requirement? What is Mir HaMatzri? What is a significant minority? 1 in 10. This approach is well known. It's an approach which really goes across all aspects of halacha. If there's a 1 in 10 chance that something's going to happen, you need to check and make sure that you're obviating the iser midirabbanan. 1 in 10. This is the psak which the Star Tei uses in the Rav Shlomo Zalman uses firstly in Source 9 and then Star Tei in Source 10. So Rav Shlomo Zalman in Source 9, Tov Hischashev B'mashikos of Mishnas Yaakov. We presume that the idea of significant minority is 1 in 10, like Mishnas Yaakov says, which means if there's a 1 in 10 chance that your strawberries are going to have bugs, you have to check your strawberries. 1 in 10. Again, not min haTorah, midrabbanan. 1 in 10. This is the approach the Star Tei says as well in Source 10. How does one define what constitutes a mir hamatzui, which requires us to check midrabbanan, or she'en hamatzui? It's a lengthy discussion amongst the postim. The generally accepted guideline, they quote, is Mishnas Yaakov. Anything over 10%. There's a 10% chance if you're going to violate Naveira, you need to check midrabbanan. Which again means that if I'm going to have blueberries, and there's a 1 in 10 chance that the blueberries have bugs, I can't eat the blueberries until I check them. Min haTorah, I could only not eat the blueberries if there's a 50% chance or more. But midrabbanan, unless if there's anything more than a 1 in 10 chance that I'm going to eat a bug, that itself is going to be a problem. However, Rav Eliashiv, in Source 11, quoted by the Sefer B'dichas HaMazon B'Halacha, written by Ravaya. Ravaya was the person who revolutionized checking of bugs. He really blew the cover of all the vegetables. He has a beautiful three-volume Sefer and a Kitzur Sefer, and he did tremendous mental research in different types of fruits and vegetables, and then sometimes in fish and water. He is the real Rosh HaMedavrim, the biggest expert, probably in Klal Yisrael, in bugs. So he writes in his Sefer, quotes from Rav Eliashiv. Rav Eliashiv said, 4%. If there's a 4% chance, that's less than half of 10%. That's much more machmir. A 4% chance you're going to be violating an iser, then need to check midrabbanan. Yesh lachush may 4%. So far we've seen two different approaches. If there's a 1 in 10 chance that I'm going to have a bug, then I have to check strawberries according to Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Star Tei. If there's a 4%, which translates for those that are awake enough at this time of night, to remember their math, what's 4%? That's 1 in 25 chance that I'm going to, approximately 1 in 25 chance that I'm going to be violating an Isser. Then I need to check according to Rav Eliyashiv, which is much more of a Chumrah. Rav Belsky was unfortunately not well for a while. And just last week, he became well enough to return to one of his many positions that he's one of the two primary postum for the Orthodox Union, for the OU. They had a dance, they had a mesiba when he came back to the OU. It was a very beautiful thing. Unfortunately, he was not well for a while. He came back to the OU, was able to be on staff, passing Shilas again. Rebelsky is one of the postum in many, many areas of Halacha, Reshiva in Tar Vadas, and he, as well as Rav Vuzner from Bnei Brak in his Shuvah Shevet HaLevi, have a different approach to what's considered a significant minority. Rebelsky in Source 13 suggests that the concept of significant minority just means there's somewhat of a prevalence. It's pretty normal. I find bugs and strawberries. They don't want to put a number on it, but if it's normal to find bugs and strawberries, need to check. Watermelon, on the other hand, is almost never found to have bugs in watermelon. So watermelon, you don't need to check. But since there's a chance in blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, lettuce, most vegetables could have bugs. They could have bugs. It's not crazy. That itself requires us to check. They don't put a specific number, 1 in 10, 1 in 25. If it's something which exists, that alone is going to make the requirement to check. But in summation, in Table 2, we've seen three different approaches. Mr. Siakov says the requirement to check midrabanan is 10%, 1 in 10. Rav Eliyashiv says 4%, 1 in 25. And Rav Elstein and Rav Osner say, as long as it's not unusual to find bugs, that itself makes us required to check midrabanan. So far we've seen that min haTorah, almost all vegetables and fruits are okay to eat without checking. But midrabanan, as long as there's a significant minority of a chance that I'm going to eat a bug, then that's going to be required to check midrabanan. What does it mean, a significant minority? Either 1 in 10 chance, 1 in 25 chance, or it's found. We find it. Before we go any further, let's stop for a second. Ask ourselves a question. When I say there's 1 in 10 chance that I'm going to eat a bug, what does that mean? What does it mean, 1 in 10 chance? It should make a difference if I eat one tiny bit or if I eat a huge amount. If I'm on a totally salad diet, I'm eating salad for breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, supper, and snack, there's more of a chance I'm going to have a bug than if I'm eating a tiny bit. What does it mean, 1 in 10 chance, or 1 in 25 chance they're going to have a bug? You have to quantify what's the sample size. What does it mean, 1 in 10? Although we mentioned the idea of 1 in 25 and other approaches, we're going to focus for the remaining part of this year on the Mishnah Siakov's approach that there's a requirement to check if there's 1 in 10 chance. But again, what does it mean, 1 in 10? 1 in 10 of what? Here we have a five-way machlokas apostim, which has tremendous ramifications, halacha l'maisa. This itself is going to make the difference between whether you ever eat strawberries perhaps in your life or always do. Never or always. That's the gamut of this approach in postum. If before you get married you're going to ask references, does this person eat raspberries without washing them? Or if you think, oh, of course, I'm going to have raspberries at my vart. This Machlokes postum has that power. Because so far we've seen, if there's 1 in 10 chance of having a bug, you need to check. The question is, 1 in 10 of what? Here we have the most machmir approach on record is that of Rav Eliyashiv. In Source 14, Rav Eliyashiv says, let's say I work for a yeshiva, and I'm in charge of purchasing. I buy all the salad for yeshiva. Truth be told, I'd be out of work. They don't sell salad. They don't serve salad in yeshivas. But if they did, then if I'm in charge of buying all the salad for yeshiva, says Rav Eliyashiv, however much you normally purchase, let's say you purchase, let's say, for example, a case of romaine lettuce. So if in 10 cases, there's above, 1 in 10, that itself is going to make all the romaine lettuce inedible unless you check all the romaine lettuce. 1 in 10 means 1 in 10 cases. If I buy 20 cases at a time, means 1 in 200 cases. Whatever is normal to be bought, that itself is going to be 1 in 10 of that, having one bug, is going to make me have a chiyuv bedika midrabbanan. Requirement to check midrabbanan. What does that mean for us? So usually we don't buy that much. Let's say let's just use romaine lettuce for the example, for tradition's sake. So often people, when they buy romaine lettuce, buy the packages of 3 hearts. We don't usually buy heads, usually we buy 3 hearts. So Rabbi Yashiv would say, one, if there's a chance that there's going to be one bug in 10 packages of hearts, then all romaine lettuce needs to have bedika. You can't eat any romaine lettuce unless you check every stalk and every leaf. 1 in 10 packages or normally purchased quantities. And as you can see, it's a tremendous chumrah because we're taking, the more we increase the sample size, the more we're making it almost impossible not to find the bug, and we're saying there's a requirement to check midrabbanan. According to Rabbi Yashiv, 1 in 10 of the normally purchased quantities. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in Shuvas Minchas Shlomo, this is a tshuva originally written to Ravaya, the person, the tzaddik who researched so much about bugs, and it was reprinted in Minchas Shlomo, in the later volumes of Minchas Shlomo, source 15. Says Rav Yashiv, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, I'm caught in a little bit of a quandary. Let's say a person says, you know, I have a chak. I don't want to check my romaine lettuce. I'm going to buy a whole head and eat one leaf or take one bite. So my quantity is very little, so I don't have to check that. Because there's no chance 1 in 10 bites are going to have a bug. Almost nothing has 1 in 10 bites. If something has an incidence of bugs, 1 in every 10 bites, it's not going to be in our grocery stores, or in all probability. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it doesn't make sense to say I'm going to have 1 out of every 10 bites is going to have an infestation. So what's the next way of trying to see 1 in every 10 somethings? What else do I have? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, must be 1 of every 10 packages, the way it's normally sold. V'yikr tevanasi omar, in the bold, she'esh lahachmir, ki'il yodim she'esh tolas besoch aguda, ki'kula tzarek bedika. Normal, the way it's normally packaged, let's say, perhaps, heads of lettuce. Let's say 1 out of every 10 heads of romaine lettuce would have a bug. That itself is going to be a requirement to have bedika. The way it's normally packaged, we presume, let's say, if you have a package of three, that's probably 3 heads. Each one is its independent head. So if there's one bug in 10 heads, then you have a chiyuv to check. That's much more lenient than Rav Eliyashiv. Rav Eliyashiv said one bug in 10 huge, huge quantities. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, if there's one bug in 10 heads, then there's a requirement to check. With strawberries, what would that mean? Let's say strawberries usually are sold, spend machokas ha, supermarkets how to sell strawberries. Let's say Seasons has the normal size, across the street they have the normal size strawberries. If you go to Costco or BJ's, they have these huge cases of strawberries. But the average way of buying strawberries, usually in those familiar green or plastic see-through quarts, strawberries. So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, if there's a chance of having one bug in 10, presumably 10 of those port packages, then you have to check. Also, pretty much of a chumrah, because there is pretty strong chance there's one little bug somewhere hiding in those 10 packages of strawberries. It might be that if you buy fancy strawberries that are still on the vine, and they come with, say, in 5, only 5 on a vine, and you buy 10 of those, that also would be considered bunches. Whatever the normal way of buying bunches is, says Rosh Hashanah, that itself, there's 1 in 10 of those. You're going to have a bug? One bug in 10 of those? That's going to have required to be, all that's going to have required to be checked. Lemaisa, the approach both of Rav Herschel Schechter, and that's the way the OU Pastins, as well as Rav Moshe Heinemann, in the Star K, in Surah 16, is that we reduce it much more. 1 out of 10 portions. Let's say I'm going, the norm of, if I take strawberries out of those quart containers, usually I serve for dessert, let's say. Each person has three strawberries. I have some three strawberries, let's say, and some sorbet, maybe some whipped cream, artificial frost versus Shabbos, let's say, and that's the normal way of serving. Let's say when people used to use strawberries, that would be a nice, normal dessert. If I'm fancy, it'll be Sharon sorbet. If I'm in a stimp, it'll be some sort of a knockoff brand. Well, Lamaisa, you're going to have some three strawberries, and that's the serving, the serving size. Says the OU, Rav Shechter, and the Starkei Rav Heinemann, that if in 1 out of 10 portions there's a bug, then you have to check. But we significantly reduce the requirement. It's much more possible to say that there are specimens of fruits and vegetables that are not going to need to be checked. Because, think about it. Let's say we know that there are some bugs that exist on strawberries. Usually you serve 3 strawberries to a person. That means 1 in 10 means 1 out of 30 strawberries. 1 out of 30 strawberries having a bug is, we hope that you don't have that, but that's definitely much more than 1 in 300 strawberries or 1 in 500 strawberries. So it's a tremendous leniency to say that 1 out of 10 portions is going to have a bug. Tremendous, tremendous leniency. So far we've seen Rav Yashiv, 1 out of 10 quantities, whatever it is. Rav Shlomo Zalman, 1 out of 10 packages. And Rav Shechter, and that's the way the OU pastins. And Rav Heinemann, that's the way that the Starkei pastins, 1 out of 10 portion sizes. However, there are those that are even more lenient. Rav Mordechai Willig is reluctant to disagree with great Gedolei Poskim such as Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashiv, Rav Shechter. But he says, what he says usually is halacha v'lo lemaisa. What he really means is that's what he thinks the halacha should be, is that he takes the point that Rav Shlomo Zalman suggested, yidachyu ad absurdum. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, maybe a person should say, I'm only eating a tiny bit, one little bite. So there's almost nothing's going to have a bug in one little bite. Says Rav Willig, that's it. You're right. It's 1 out of 10 bites. There's a chance that in 10 bites of your fruit or vegetable there's a bug, then you need to check. But if there's any less prevalence than 1 out of every 10 bites, you're stock free. There's no need to check at all. This is a phenomenal, tremendous leniency. Let's presume that strawberries have a high incidence of bugs. You think, usually, how many bites does it take to have a strawberry? 3 or 4 bites, let's say, in a strawberry. It depends. If you're in I am very hungry mode, you gobble them down in one. If you're a little bit more benachas mode, you have them cut in half, and it looks more dainty. But sometimes you can, if you're at a guest at someone's house, you don't really know. You could have half a strawberry, and another a third, and another third, and another third. But let's argue, for argument's sake, let's say you have half a strawberry at a time. According to Rav Willig, the only time you need to check strawberries is if on your strawberries there's a chance that in 5 strawberries there's a bug. Because we need 1 out of every 10 bites. Usually if every strawberry is usually 2 bites, if there's 1 out of 5 strawberries, that's 1 out of 10 bites, then you need to check. But anything less than 1 out of 10 bites, there's no need to check at all. Which is an unbelievable leniency. It really has its roots in a point that Rav Shlomo Zalman said he doesn't think exists. So if you will, why not? 1 out of 10 bites. There's a chance that 1 out of 10 bites are going to have a bug. Then you need to check. Anything less than 1 out of 10 bites, no problem at all. You'd be hard-pressed to find, I believe, almost any type of fruit or vegetable that's going to have one insect in 10 bites. I don't think it's so prevalent. I don't think so. Which means almost no fruits and vegetables would need to have bedikah, even midrabanan. So then Rav Willig said, I'm saying it's halacha v'lo lemaisa. Halacha v'lo lemaisa, lemaisa. But that's according to Rav Willig. Now, lemaisa, only recently have we had posting that have quantified exactly what's mir hamotzi, what does it mean I need to check, what does it mean 10% specifically, when atar midrabanan. My hunch is, the reason for so many years, Klal Yisrael only checked romaine lettuce on Erev Pesach, and no other vegetables anytime. We all ate strawberries or raspberries or blueberries, is because Lamaisa Klal Yisrael for a long time passed them like this approach. We presume if the one out of every 10 bites is going to have a bug, you need to check it. But most types of produce don't have one out of 10 bites, then it's okay. It could be that on this table, where all of us are eating fruits and vegetables, there is a bug. That's Rov ben HaTorah. And Miach Enemat Midravanan, there's no chiyuv to check. There could be bugs. That's the beauty of halacha, is that we have concepts called Rov. There's no need to check. So this is a hunch. I have no empirical evidence to this. It could be that Klal Yisrael, de facto, really passed like this approach for all these years. We presume there might be bugs, but since one out of every 10 bites are not going to have me eating a bug, that's enough to obviate the requirement to check both Min HaTorah and Midrabah. Lemaisa Revaya, the person who researched so much about bugs, in his introduction to the Sefer, quotes other reasons that perhaps things change with fruits and vegetables. Import-export changed, there have been pesticides that have fallen out of use. But my hunch, I can't prove it, and you're welcome to disagree. My hunch is that the de facto psak in Klal Yisrael for these many years has been, if there's one out of every 10 bites that have a bug, that's a problem. If not, there's no need to check alternate. There's an even more lenient approach, the fifth approach, and final approach for tonight, is the approach which is suggested by Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg in Eretz Yisrael. He, in a letter to Ravaya, who wrote the beautiful Sefer on checking bugs in fruits and vegetables, writes, Halacha v'olamaisa, I'm just wondering, but you presume if he's writing, I'm just wondering, he means, this is my gut reaction, he writes, you know what I think 1 in 10 means? It probably means, if you have, let's say, rice, 1 out of every 10 grains of rice is going to be a bug, that's 1 in 10. But if anything more than 1 out of 10 grains is going to be a bug, no need to check. That's a phenomenal kula, even more than a world. 1 out of every 10 grains of rice? We don't check rice usually. Even those that check rice, I don't think you find 1 out of every 10 grains of rice having a bug. It's not so common. So he says, he thinks maybe halacha l'maisa in source 18, mea orez asarat oloim. If there's 10 grains of rice, one bug. Just to summarize in table 3 before you turn the pages, we have the most macher approach to that, Rav Yashiv, usually purchased or cooked at once. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, one bug in 10 packages. Rav Schechter in the OU, and Rav Heinemann in the Star K, one bug in 10 normal servings. Rav Mordechai Willard, one out of every 10 bites. Unbelievable kula. And Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg speculates, he thinks maybe one out of 10 grains of rice, which is a phenomenal kula as well. What we've seen so far before we conclude our shiur is that Min HaTorah, almost all fruits and vegetables do not need to be checked. Because there's a rove, that there's probably not rove infestation of bugs. Nevertheless, if there's Mir HaMatzui, which for argument's sake is 1 in 10 chance is going to be a bug, there's a need to check Midrabanan. But 1 in 10 what? What is the specimen? We have Rabbi Yashiv, 1 out of 10 of the amount normally purchased, which means tremendous amounts of fruits and vegetables need to have bedika. We have Rav Mordechai Willard that says 1 out of every 10 bites, which almost obviates many situations of checking fruits and vegetables, halacha v'lo l'maisa. It's very common to... Another way, if a person is not going to have vegetables for breakfast, lunch, and supper, but one wants to keep off the pounds, to have smoothies. Sometimes smoothies are actually low-fat, low-calories. Sometimes we convince ourselves they're low-fat and low-calories. But the Maisa, smoothies are made ideally by taking fruits or vegetables, and grinding them, blending them with other ingredients until they're pureed. Also, we know it's very, very common nowadays. I think one of the most common turtles, aside from the butternut squash turtle on the Shabbos table, is broccoli turtle. Broccoli turtle is usually made by pureeing broccoli. What's the halakha? If I know I'm going to puree something, does that change the requirement to check altogether? Now, before we do any further, I just want to point out, I had a chus this past week of making strawberry soup with my Eshes Chayil right before Shabbos in our house in Pesach. And my wife was instructing me, as we were doing it together, how to clean the strawberries, not only for halacha concern, as we'll see, there's room to be metal on pureed strawberries, but she said, Shmuel, you're going to see why we're cleaning them. And we took the strawberries, we took off the green tops of the strawberries, we soaked them for a few minutes. The tremendous amount of schmutz that was left in that bowl, which Baruch can be removed, Chachmas Nashim Bansa Vesa. I have a lot of her, so it's my dear wife, but specifically for instructing me how to keep a sanitary home, leaving outside halacha. The tremendous amount of schmutz that exists on strawberries is an important thing to be aware of. So anything we say which is going to be mekil is not something which the USDA says is okay. It might be something which halacha says is okay. But just know, caveat emptor, buyer beware, there's schmutz that's lurking in your produce anyway, and that you have to still be careful of. What if I'm going to puree vegetables or fruits? Do I need to check? The halacha is that in theory, the Shulchan Aruch says in Source 19, beria afil be'elef babatel. An animal, anything which is a complete creation, is never, ever, ever batel. That means if I have one little bug in a tremendous vat of milk, apple juice, cranberry juice, orange juice, one bug, it's not batel. Beria, a creation, is never batel. But the Shach tells us, lahalacha, in Source 20, and ratified by Rav Yashiv in Source 21 in Ravaya Sefer, that Lamaisa, if I have a whole bug, but please make sure your stomachs are settled for this, but the bug is pureed inside my juice, then it's not so pleasant, but halakhli, that's okay. A beria, a complete creation, in order not to be batel, is only not batel if it's complete in that it is intact. But once the beria is missing even a little bit, if it's pureed entirely, and certainly if even a leg is off, that's batel. So a beria, complete creation, is not batel. But even if a little bit is off, that is going to be batel in the normal ratio we know, batel b'shishim. So the Shach says in Source 20, lafute nisrasik, or nechtach mimenu ever echad. If it's pureed, or even a little bit's cut off, and Rav Yashiv commented, chaser mashu, even if a tiny bit is missing, that is considered totally okay, then it's batel. So in theory, although we mentioned there's a chiyuv bedika, requirement to check broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, strawberries, raspberries, anything that I might eat, perhaps for bugs, if I'm going to make a strawberry, blueberry, raspberry smoothie, I can clean them because I want to make sure there's no schmutz, but then I put the raspberries, put the blueberries, put the strawberries into a blender, have it all blended, and I'm left with pureed insects, which are not so delicious from a hygienic standpoint, but halakhically speaking, that should be okay. Because halakhically, what I did was I blended them. Once they're blended, they're batel b'shishim. I have a lot of smoothie and very few bugs, that's mutter. Again, if I'm eating the blueberries or strawberries whole, that's a problem. But once they're pureed, that's totally fine. So in theory, it should seem that if I'm pureeing vegetables such as broccoli or fruits such as strawberries, there's absolutely no requirement to check whatsoever. I can make a strawberry soup by taking the strawberries out of the package and pureeing them straight. With one problem. The problem is, there's a well-known halacha, Source 22 in Shulchan Aruch, Ein mevatlin isra lechatchila. You're not allowed to say, you know, I think that chalent would taste really, really good with a drop of milk. And I know, I learned in yeshiva, I know, bitul b'shishim, kitchen's best friend. I have a nice bit chalent, I drop in just a little bit of milk. It's batel, it's mutter, but I can't do that. Orthodox Jews don't orchestrate situations of bitel. We don't make bitel happen. If it happens, it's okay. But we can't do it. ein mevatlin iser lechatzchila. So if I'm going to be pureeing the strawberries, if I know that strawberries have bugs, then by pureeing them, I'm mevatel iser lechatzchila. Yes, if I do it, they'll be batel, but I can't create a situation of bittel. So maybe it's not so simple. I can't puree broccoli straight out of seasons that's not bodeh unless I first check it. Nevertheless, the Taz says, depends. Why am I pureeing the broccoli? Why am I pureeing the strawberries? If I say, you know, I want to have strawberries, but I know there's so many bugs, I can't eat them unless I puree them, what I'm really doing is creating a sense of bittel. That's like putting milk in my chocolate. But why am I pureeing strawberries when I make the smoothie? Because I open up Mishpacha, and it says, to make a delicious strawberry smoothie, puree strawberries. I'm following directions. I'm not doing to make it bittel. Why am I pureeing strawberries? That's the directions. Therefore, says the Taz, ain't tavanoso lebatel. My intent is not to make it bittel. My intent is to follow the recipe. A fringe benefit is that I'm going to have strawberries that are now pureeing the bugs as well. That's permissible. That's okay. Says the Pesach Tshuva in source 24, the af im efshir rakshu tircha. Even if I could check, we can go through all our strawberries. It's just a pain. If that's part of the recipe, that itself is permissible. Not all postum hold this way, but what's clear from the Shulchan Aruch is that there are many postum that say that indeed, if bugs are pureed, it's permissible. But there's still a problem. The impediment to that is ein mevatlin isur lechatzchila. I'm not allowed to go a priori and create a sense of bittel. I can't pour milk into cholent, even if it's less than 60. I also can't puree vegetables, make the bugs be bittel. Some postum say, but it depends, if I'm following the recipe, that itself is permissible because I'm doing it really to follow the recipe, not because I want to make bittel. Other postum disagree. But I'd like to point out, we already mentioned several different approaches as to how much of an incidence of bugs. 1 in 10, is it 1 in 10 like Rabbi Yashiv said, 1 in 10 huge cartons? Or is it 1 in 10 bites? Most kashrus organizations maintain that it's 1 out of 10 servings, which would mean they would say that you need to check strawberries, because most strawberries are going to have at least some bugs in 1 out of every 10 servings. I would still argue, though, even if you're going to be a Rav Shechter Talmud, like the OU says, or a Starkei Talmud, Rav Heinemann, that say that I'm makbid anything that is 1 out of 10 servings is going to have a requirement to check. If I'm pureeing it, then the only concern I need to be concerned with anymore is the concern of ein mevatlin, isur lechatzchila. You're not allowed to go out of your way to make something be batel. For that, one can rely on the most makel opinion that says that it's 1 out of every 10 bites. So again, even if in terms of checking strawberries at your table normally, you're going to be more machmir and say, you need to check 1 out of 10, if there's 1 out of every 10 servings has a concern, if all you're doing is pureeing it, which means it's automatically kosher, because the bugs are batel, your only concern is that you can't go out of your way to be mabatel it, for that alone, you can rely on Rav Willard or Rav Zalman Nechemiah Dolger that say that as long as there's 1 out of every 10 bites that's going to have a bug, which is a very leading opinion, you can definitely go ahead and puree your vegetables. So even if you're not going to rely on that for whole vegetables, once you're pureeing, and all you're going to do is make it batel, the concern is you can't go out of your way to make it batel, for that you can rely on the most makel opinion of what it means, 1 in 10, 1 out of every 10 bites, 1 out of every 10 grains of rice. But even if you don't hold that way, it happens to be common practice, many local vadim and many national vadim that maintain that if all we're talking about is a miut, she'ena matzui, mir ha-matzui, a between 10 and 50% chance of bugs, and you're pureeing it, your intent is only to puree for the recipe, that is mutter l'chatchila. If anyone in the past 10 years has had raspberry yogurt, blueberry yogurt, strawberry yogurt with an OU on it, you rely on this leniency. Because there's no way that la yogurt is saying la la, let us check each strawberry. No way. There's no mashkiach. Mr. La and Mr. Yogurt are not paying for any mashkiach to check all the raspberries. What does the OU rely on? The OU relies on the fact that they take tons of strawberries, and the recipe for strawberries are, for strawberry yogurt is, you make yogurt in one part of the factory, you puree the strawberries in another part of the factory, and you put them together. That itself is going to be mutter. There's a machlokes, we know, of course, among the yogurt companies, you put the fruit on the bottom, you put the fruit in, but everyone agrees what's in there is pureed fruit. Lamaisa, what all those companies are relying on is the fact that since their intent is to puree it, not for the purpose of getting rid of the bugs, they'd rather there be no bugs. They just to puree it and possess the recipe, that itself is mutter. Many stores that I'm sure you frequent that make smoothies from scratch will take strawberries or raspberries or blueberries out of the freezer, put them in the blender, and serve you a smoothie. It's possible that in some stores that you go to, a mashgiach checks those berries. But probably, they're relying on this kula. The fact that since, really the bugs are batel, if they're bugs. Really they're batel. Even though the bugs are batel, you can't make an iser batel, you can't do that. You can't put milk into cholent. But still, for the fact, since it's part of the recipe, that itself is permissible. I just added, even if you don't want to hold of that kula, you can also hold of the Rav Willer kula, that for the idea of ein batelus mechila, rely on the fact that maybe I'm a 1 in 10 bites person. I wouldn't rely on that for whole strawberries, let's say, but for the fact that I'm pureeing it, since really it's mutter anyway. The only concern is that I'm not going to want to be mevatel with chatchila. If you don't want to rely on the fact that it's the recipe kula, you can rely on the Rav Willer kula that 1 out of every 10 bites is permissible. Most fruits do not have 1 out of every 10 bites being infested. In fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein in Source 25 just points out that there's a minhag in Klal Yisrael that even though sometimes we have a situation where we might be machmir, that if a company does something for Joe Bayer, that's as if they did it for me specifically, we usually presume, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, if they do it for an entire community, then there's no concern of bittul. Subject for another discussion at length. The last point to discuss for tonight is the kol slaw calamity. I'm at someone's house, and they're one of those, I don't believe in this phenomenon of shucking vegetables people. And I say, I'm going to eat the meat and the chicken, and all of a sudden, they bring out coleslaw. Well, Maisa, there's a bit of a machokas I grew up with in the Maybrook family and the Konigsberg family. What's the purpose of coleslaw at the Shabbos table? In the Konigsberg family, I was introduced by my wife that coleslaw is one of the salads that you could have. So you can opt not to have a salad. But my chinuch is that you can't have chicken on Friday night or Shabbos day without liberal servings of coleslaw. It's ma'akev in the chicken. So someone makes coleslaw for me, I'm a Maybrook, and they know that if there's coleslaw at the table, I'm not going to eat chicken without coleslaw. But I'd rather not have the coleslaw, you know. But no, come on, we made it just for you. We made the coleslaw just for you. What do? I can't just eat the meat and the chicken and maybe some other innocuous cucumber salad. I need to eat the coleslaw. What do? In the very beginning of this year, we discussed the halakha. What's the source of checking vegetables? The paradigm, the real model for that, was from another thing that requires checking. What was that? Lungs in animals. We mentioned two halakhos. One halakha is that an animal that has lungs that are available, you must check. But what if I'm making a barbecue in the country and someone spills the lungs? Do I need to check? Am I allowed to eat the animal? I'm still allowed to eat the animal. What do we see from this halakha? We see that even if there's a chiv to run into check, that's only if you can. But if you can't, you're totally fine. So, lemaisa, this is the point made by the Shulchan Aruch in Source 26 and enhanced by the Shach in Source 27. Of a rabishel, if I, by mistake, didn't check vegetables and I took them, that I can check. Says the Shulchan Aruch, if I can still check them, I should. Vim lav, but if I can't, mutter. Says the Shach, the same thing is true in Source 27. Im yachol livdok bodek, Dimlav, if I should, but if not, then it's permissible. What's the source, says the Rashba? From lungs. As we saw by lungs itself, Shulchan Aruch said, if an animal runs away with the lungs, even though I'm supposed to check them, if I can, it's okay. Based on this Shulchan Aruch and the Rishonim, the Sefer B'dichas HaMazon Kehalacha, Ravaya himself quotes from none other than Rav Yashiv, if I'm at someone's house and they serve me salad with mayonnaise, what we call in English, coleslaw, 28, l'chein, ma'achol, sheshayach l'tfutzas mir hamotzui, a type of produce that is maximum between 10 and 50% infestation, she'ein efsharus levodko, it's no longer possible to check it, k'don salat murav and mayonnaise, salad with mayonnaise, yesh makam mahakil, there is room to be lenient, I'm allowed to eat it, l'damri, I don't need to be concerned at all. Tain shemati mehedron rav Yosef shalom el yashiv shlita. Lamaisa, even after all we said, there might be a very strong chiyuv to check, that's only if I can. But if I'm at a host's house, and I know they don't check, they don't use bodeh, they buy regular cabbage, and they shred it in a food processor, says Rav Yashiv, remember our model. Our model is checking the lungs. Checking the lungs is ideal. But if you didn't, you're okay. The same thing is true with salad. Now it's important to know that according to some kosher organizations, there are some types of vegetables that some parts of the year have more than a 50% chance of bugs, and that you wouldn't have this leniency for. But if there's anywhere between 10 and 50% chance of bugs, says the Shulchan Aruch basically, which is passed in Halacha Maaseh by Rav Yashiv, quoted in the Sefer B'dichas HaMazon, if I have something which can no longer be checked, I can rely on the fact that the entire requirement to check is midrabanan, and therefore there's no need to check all together. I'm allowed to eat it. Just to review the conspectus that we've gone through this evening, we mentioned that most produce that you and I consume is totally permissible min haTorah. Even though the prohibition of eating bugs, eating insects, is very severe, very serious, worse than eating treif, most produce does not have greater than a 50% incidence of infestation. And therefore, min haTorah, our rely on rove Brussels sprouts, rove strawberries, rove raspberries are not infested, that's enough min haTorah. Nevertheless, there's still a requirement to check midrabanan. If there's mir hamatzoy, if there's a significant minority, what is a significant minority? Three different approaches we have. 10%, which is the approach most postmen say that we carry throughout the rest of this year. Rabbi Yashua says 4%, and others say as long as it's prevalent, they don't want to put a percent on it altogether. Back to 10%, 10% of what? What does it mean 10%? 1 in 10 chance I'm going to have a bug, 1 in 10 chance of what? So Rav Yashiv, 1 in 10 of the normal amounts I purchase if I'm in an institution, 1 in 10 tremendous truckloads. Says Rosh Hashanah Zalman, no, 1 out of 10 normal packages. Says both the OU from Rav Heschel Schechter and the Star K from Moshe Heinemann, 1 out of every 10 portions is going to have a bug. Says Rav Willig, 1 out of every 10 bites, phenomenal kula. And Rav Zalman Nechem Yedoldred, 1 out of 10 grains of rice, which is also a tremendous kula. Different approaches, whichever approach you take, can have tremendous ramifications. If you hold 1 out of every 10 bites is going to be a problem, then almost nothing is going to give you 1 out of every 10 bites incidence of bugs. Tremendous kula, which is matter many, many, many things. We then concluded with the issue of something that I know I'm going to puree. If I'm going to puree something, that means the bugs are going to be pureed, they're no longer complete, therefore they're batel. I'm still left with one issue. The issue is ein mevatzlin isur l'chatchila. You're not allowed to go and cause something to be batel. We mentioned several solutions. The first, which the OU pastors like for industry, is that if the reason I'm being mevatel it is because that's the normal recipe, not because my intent is to mevatel it, that's mutter. Certainly, if maximum I have is only mir hamatzoi, it's less than 50% of its incidence of bugs, then I can be mevatel it chatchila by pureeing, since that's not my intent. Others say that even if my intent is to be mevatelit, I was suggesting, based on Rav Willard, even if I would not rely on Rav Willard's approach, let's say, for eating raw strawberries, eating fresh strawberries, if all I'm concerned about is ein mevatelit l'chatchila, for that I can rely on the more lenient approach of one out of every 10 bites. But halacha maisa, in industry, they pass from this all the time. That's how any of us can eat yogurts that are made with fruits, because they are pureed. And the last point, the Shulchan Aruch, and then this Rebbe Yashiv says, halacha maisa, if I'm in a situation where I can no longer check, then it's parallel to the case we mentioned as far as lungs. Lungs are a chiyuv to check midrabanan, only if I can. And therefore, if my salad has mayonnaise on it, and I can no longer check, Rebbe Yashiv says there's definitely room to be makil. There's no need to check whatsoever. The concept of checking in general reminds us of the beauty of halacha. Halacha says sometimes things that are so tiny, almost barely visible, are very serious. If you think about it, the same is true with life. This past week's parsha, Balak hired Bilam to give a call to Klal Yisrael, and the Gemara in Brachos explains that Bilam's power was to harness the 1 second a day that Hashem gets angry. During that 1 second, to curse Klal Yisrael. Says Tosfos, hold on. What could Bilam say in 1 second? Says Tosfos in one teretz, one word. Kalein. Three letters. Chaf, Lamed, Mem. Destroy them. With that 1 second, but for the grace of Hashem in changing Bilam's kolos to the beautiful brachas of Matovu, Klal Yisrael would have met its complete demise with 1 second, Kalei. Both the concepts of insects, Manushan Halacha, and Bilam's attempt at using one word for 1 second reminds us that life as a whole is made up of fleeting moments. As I remember Imi Morosi, Morosi Chevet Pesha, Bas Hillel, Alei HaShalom, whose yahrzeit is tonight, I remember not a life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His infinite wisdom decided to terminate after my mother's 52 years, but a life made up of tiny moments of bracha, of simcha, and the roshim that my mother made on us is something I feel throughout my life. Those moments, those little bits of time, are something which propels me throughout my life. As I have this zechus partnering with my wife, being mechanech our dear children, I have no suffix that perhaps the most important message a child can receive from parents is love. After all, parenting, different methods, different approaches, strict, more lenient, the concept of consummate love that parents have for their children, if that's conveyed properly, then come what may, that with the Yad Nishmaya is going to in of itself, create happy, psychologically, physically healthy children. And one of my mother's friends sometimes comments, oh, you're Shmuel. You know, ever since you were little, your mother always used to meet me and say, oh, you know what Shmuel's doing now? Shmuel's doing this, Shmuel's doing that. We always had a feeling, both me and Gila and Eliezer, who could not be here tonight, and Devorah, had a feeling of such love that Imeinu Maraseinu, a dear mother, had for us, that although she's no longer here physically, not only do we know that learning Torah together is a tremendous iloy for a neshama, but that love is something which we have the zechus of transmitting to our children and propels us throughout our lives, something which is eternal. The tremendous chiba that our mother had for us, and we should be zoche to together. Through good times and bad times, as Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, is through these 3 weeks, to have the Geula. We thank the Kehilas Gedol Yisrael, Rabbi Sheinfeld, who's here for part of the time, for opening up the shul, for all those that came from near and far, which we zocha to come together for good things, the Besaros Tovos, and to dance together, Ace Yekitsu V'Yiranu Shochnei Ofer, with Tchias HaMeisen, V'Vinyan, Bayis HaShlishi, V'Simcha, V'Mheira, V'Yami.
Bechayechon uviyamechon uvechayed chobeis Yisrael Bagolo uvizman kariv vimru amen Yehey yeshemeh rabba mivarach Uyolam uviyomeh yomayo Yisparach viyishtabach viyispa'ar viyisromam viyisnasei Yishadar viyisalev yishalal Shemeh tukru tushabirichu Wa'ewa min kol birchasa v'shirasa tushbuchasa v'nechemasa D'yamiran b'yalma v'yimru amein Al Yisrael v'arabanon v'al tamidehon V'al kol tamideis v'amidehon V'al toman v'yoskin v'yareisa D'yivasru hadenu d'yivachalasar v'asar Yehe v'hon v'chon shalom ha'rabba Chino v'chista v'rachamin v'chayin arichin U'mazonei rivichay ufortona Min tadam v'hon d'yivishmaya v'yara v'yimru amein Yehe Shema Rabba min Shemaya v'chayim tovim aleinu v'yal kol Yisrael v'imru amen. Oseh shalom imromav, hurachamav yaseh shalom aleinu v'yal kol Yisrael v'imru amen. Thank you everyone for coming. We'll have an hour in 2 minutes.